I actually have a WhatsApper here on another point who mentions, in terms of road violations, their perspective. But I wanted to read something because I'm a little aghast, for lack of a better word. I don't like people being, you know, unnecessarily, I'll find another word for that at some point. But after growing by an average of 2.5% between 1993 and 2008, this is Barbados, the economy contracted by roughly 0.5% per year from 2008 to 2018. So while you may have a quarter here and there that was having growth, if you look at the actual trend line, it was going up, having some ups and downs, fluctuations between the 1993 to 2008 period. But then by 2008, it started going down and going down and going down. And then by 2009, it went really, really far down. And then it came up a little bit. If you see the graph, if you look between now the period for which we talked, which is 2008 to 2018, on average now you have 0.5%. What is pleasurable about that? When it is referred to as the lost decade, while some people may take it from within a political context, well, so be it. There will be people who will have agendas. But this is an economic point where if you have a 10-year period and you have had so little growth, less than 1%, and they're referred as a lost decade, that's up to them. But as a result of that, the economy, which had doubled, as we know, it was a bigger sized economy in the 90s and the 2000, up to the 2007 before the crisis hit. And then it started to stagnate over the last decade. So that's what people are referring to. And if you see the size of the economy in the period prior versus the size of the economy, we had moved from I'm actually looking at the slide from yesterday because I took a couple pictures from the presentation. So Barbados is now a 9.9 billion sized economy, which is much smaller than what it was way back in 1993, and the period between 1993 to 2005. And as a result, you know, we were told that, and I remember one of our fellow economists, Marla Dukaran, interesting that I use her name, but I'm sorry, but Marla Dukaran talked about we needed to put some fiscal measures in place, and because we are having fiscal indiscipline, we were not following through on the targets that we had set. And these were personal targets. Now, these were targets for Barbados. This was not anything to do with the IMF program. And we were not doing what we should have done. We were spending too much, and we were increasing the size of our wages bill. We were doing a couple of things. In other words, they say we were bad behaved. And we needed to institute some fiscal adjustments. She talked about some rules, fiscal rules, et cetera. I remember having a discussion with her before on the same topic. So that's what people refer to. If you go through a period where there's stagnated growth or so little growth, then that's what they refer to as the lost decade. Thank you very much on that matter. This is down to brass tacks.
Hello, morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Miss
Gail.
Gail?
Yes.
Gail. Just called to say to you that you were totally unfair to that last caller that you spoke to.
That's quite okay. You win some, you lose some.
No, but you just wanted to push him in the corner, and he wasn't rude to you at all.
No, it's not about rudeness. It is not about rudeness, sir. We will have some conversations that will go good and some that wouldn't go good. So let's make sure that yours go good today.
And the same way that you are saying that he wanted to push it political?
No. I wasn't. I wasn't saying that, personally.
That is ridiculous. You are moderators that you all could just state people because you all have the opportunity to push them in the corner.
So what about you, caller? What are you saying?
I'm just saying that, just allowing you to know that you were totally...
Right, you said it already. Caller. You said it already. You want to say it again?
And I just have to say it because that's not nice.
Okay.
You only want to push callers.
There are some people who will like what you say and some people who will not like what you say. And today may not be one of those days where you like what I say. Do you have anything else to say today on the program?
I don't have anything to say. Just
so have
say
a wonderful day. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you gone to the hospital to look for Rashid?
If I've gone to the hospital to look for Rashid?
Yeah.
No, I haven't gone to the hospital.
Up and on my brother. That's the That's his trade. That's his trademark.
Okay.
Already.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I want to talk to you about three other things though this morning, if I may.
Okay.
The first one is I heard some news coming out of Guyana that says the opposition is claiming that there's this British company that technically is getting into the affairs of the Ghana elections coming up by saying that the present regime, the Granger regime, negotiated with ExxonMobil in the States, and as a result of that negotiation that I had with ExxonMobil, they're now starting to lose $55 million. You heard that?
I didn't hear that, but I did hear that the United Nations have sent in a team, and because Guyana is one of those countries where you do get some international observers for their elections.
Right.
And the team that yesterday was a 40-man team that was
yeah, and was spread around Guyana.
Was spread around Guyana for observation to see how things are, to see whether there are any somebody inciting anything on.
I heard
to follow
that
because the elections are coming in March. That's around the corner, though.
Yeah. I heard that, Ms. Gia. But
there's a lot of discussion as well on the same ExxonMobil, and as you would appreciate, this is the first time for Guyana, so. Any government or any incoming government or any potential government would want to become the government of the day. So there are going to be comments. There's going to be commentary. There are going to be people who will say some things that aren't so true. I actually saw one of my colleagues yesterday posting something on the same Guyana because he's very, very, very passionate about the transportation issue, whether there are going to be meters. And I don't know if you know of the couple months ago when they stopped the parking meters in Georgetown, and a whole set of stuff is going on right now. And as you would appreciate, in any politically charged environment, there are going to be allegations coming from both the incumbent as well as those who are interested in coming in.
But Ms. Gill, I understand what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all of you saying got now do I say, you know, I say that the opposition is saying that this English company is looking to interfere with the Guyanese elections by saying that they negotiate, and only the Guyanese negotiators and the Guyanese people who negotiated on the behalf of Guyana and the government negotiated with Mobil Exxon and started to lose $55 million.
I heard everything you said, and my response still remains.
Let me make my point, please. Let me make my point. So I am saying that I am asking you now if that is true. I want to know if it is true, if there's any truth to that, I want to know.
Wait, my response wasn't good enough. I said to you,
wait a minute.
There are going to be allegations coming. You want me to verify whether or not it was true or not?
But, Ms. Gill, let me finish what I'm saying. I am only asking you if what the opposition is saying is correct. I want to know if the government can renegotiate the deal with Mobil Exxon. That's all I'm asking you.
Sir, and I will repeat. You want me to repeat exactly what I said earlier?
Let me move
there
on,
will be allegations coming from.
Santa, you seem very argumentative, so let me move on. Let me move on to my next point.
Before you move on, sir.
Yeah.
As a caller, you called me as a moderator, and you asked me a question. And I said to you, in any politically charged environment, there are going to be allegations. You come back with a rebuttal to ask me if it is true or not. And then you accuse me then of not treating. You're still there?
Yes, I am. Ms. Gill, I'm accused. Listen.
I will move on to your next point, because I was just telling you that you will get allegations from one side and from the other side.
I agree. But all I was trying to find out from you as a consultant is if it is possible for the government to renegotiate the deal with Exxon. That's all I was asking you.
But I can't answer you on that point, considering
okay,
what...
Okay, say that. Let me move on, though. Let me move on, Ms. Gill.
Whoa.
The other thing I want to ask you is this. The government announced, I heard it yesterday, this is the local government, our government, my government, announced yesterday that they have started, they have asked...
Which country are we in?
Barbados. My government. I say my government. And the only government going to the Caribbean is my government under the leadership of Mayor Amor.
Okay.
They said on the news or some item yesterday that the Barbados government has given permission for BP to start drilling to see what's happening up in the Southeast.
Are you going to ask me if that's so?
No. I ain't asking if it's so, because I know it is so.
Yeah.
I know it is so. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't hear them say is how soon this drilling up in the southeast is going to start. It's somewhere between 40 kilometers and some other distance out, further out. So I was just trying to find out when it is going to start. That's all I was trying to find out on that score. But I still have some more discussion with you if you want to engage me.
I'm easy, you know. I am getting some responses via WhatsApp with some different perspectives, some up and ons, and some no, I don't think so. And one person said you've been harsh to the previous caller. So we are well within our right to have our different perspectives. But you go on if you want to engage me. I am free to engage you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you for that. Anyway. So you don't know when they're going to start drilling to first.
No. If I may respond to you in the way that I would like, which I will, mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on in government. I have not been a fly on the wall. I don't get invited to cabinet meetings. I don't have that privy information.
But Ms. Gill,
so I wouldn't know when they're going to start.
But Ms. Gill, you are a part of the blue economy. Don't forget.
I am.
Yes, you are.
Yes, and I have a meeting on Friday.
Right. So the blue economy would be the people, along with the Prime Minister's ministry and the environment, mm-hmm. to deal with this offshore drilling. So there's something that you should be able to tell us.
I wouldn't be able to tell you. And as you notice, okay. On any board that I sit, I don't bring information to the public unless I've been asked to speak specifically on any particular subject.
Right. Fair enough. Now, the next thing I want to ask you is this.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they're going to build, they intend to build three islands or two or three islands off the West Coast. I would like to know.
I heard that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you again, as a part of the blue economy, I would like to know if you can tell us, give us some idea as to how I don't have no objection to these islands being built,
mm-hmm.
but what I would want to know is how they're going to do it, how they can get... How do really get
so you want me to put on my engineer hat?
Yes. You can do that.
What my mother told me many years ago, that where the actual Port Authority is, where you worked for many years, a couple decades, that the...
From 1970.
The there was water.
And there was an island off there called Pelican Island.
Yes. And
joined Pelican Island with the mainland.
Right.
And in between there was a... And then
you asking me or you want to talk or you want me to talk?
No, go ahead.
I'm saying we had the opportunity to have engineers in the 1970s.
Right.
The 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we can get some engineers...
And the 1950s.
And the 1950s because it started... Right, when it started. And I'm sure we can get some engineers in 2020 and 2021.
To come and explain to us.
Well,
how this thing's going to be done.
Did you get an explanation in the 1950s when the port was being constructed?
But Ms. Gill, the difference between because the port started to build the port in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all that information.
But it's common knowledge. I don't know if you follow. Are you on Facebook?
No, but I was a tour guide in the port, you know.
I know. But I'm also telling you, for those people who don't have all of the information that you have,
right.
There is a Facebook page. I have a visitor. There's a Facebook page that is entitled the Barbados Port Inc.
Right.
And that Facebook page, incidentally, captures the history from 1950s right up to now. And they tell you a whole set of stuff. And it is very informative. So if you're on Facebook, I think you should like the page. That would be very...
But let me say this to you, Ms. Gill.
Yes.
Pelican Island.
Mm-hmm.
There was a small body of water in between Pelican Island and the mainland.
Yes,
and
also before the dredge.
They also had a cemetery down there. So it wasn't very difficult to join Pelican Island.
You saying it wasn't difficult.
No, it was not.
Okay.
It was not. Because I remember as a young boy, the actually dredge and whatever to get from the dredging down there in the harbor and stuff is what to fill in the space in between Pelican Island and the mainland with. But what I'm saying is,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't difficult. But in this new dispensation, this new idea of building islands off Barbados, I would like to know how is it going to be done? You know, because the God Islands.
You know that you are invited to still come as a stalwart, to still be able to visit the port and meet with the respective players and ask questions and that kind of. You know that you are welcome, sir. Coming on Brass Stats, can I help you on this?
I know.
You have far more privilege to go to the Barbados Port Inc. and get in and visit and ask questions and get new information. Yes, sir.
I know.
And you are welcome. As a director of the port, I can tell you that you are welcome, sir.
I know, but I am dealing with the port now. I'm dealing with the islands, the planet, the bell.
From the blue economy that I would know. So anybody responsible for the blue economy or anybody partaking in it. Anyway, I'm going to thank you so much for your call. You engaged me a bit today. We do have a few callers, but I will come back to you. This is Down to Brass Stacks. Down to Brass Stacks. I have a guest with me in the studio, none other than the Dr. Clyde Maskell, who came to not just pay me a visit, but to participate in our discussion. Yes. He will be going until 1 p.m., 2 p.m. It doesn't matter, depending on the types of questions that can come. So if my caller who left, who wanted a further explanation on the last decade, wants to call back, he's free to do so. But I do have a blowing WhatsApp with probably about 21 persons who I haven't even opened their WhatsApps. Okay. And just to say that there's mixed emotion or mixed reaction based on what I would have, the discussion that would have taken place between myself and that caller. So I would get back to those WhatsAppers at another time. Actually, it's more than 20. Boy, oh boy. So a special welcome to you. Also, former lecturer, one of my former lecturers. I used to be very keen to listen to you.
Sure.
We used to have some good engagements at the University of the West Indies. So, yes. Dr. Clyde Maskell, welcome to Brass Stacks again.
Thanks for being here, Lisa and the listeners. I've not been as frequent.
That's all right.
Yeah.
The few times that you've come, you're able to share with us.
We're working very hard behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. The thing in this business is to tell the truth according to the data. Mm-hmm. You can have your own opinion, but you cannot have your own facts. And therein lies the difference in economics. We can have different interpretations depending on where we stand as monetarists or Keynesianists or neoclassicalists and all the other things. But I'm really here, first of all, to make a few observations and clarify. I first want to clarify the difference between a fee and a tax. In calculating a fee for a service that the government provides, it takes into consideration the costs of providing the service.
Right. So whether they're admin costs,
transportation
costs.
And in many instances, because government is providing a social good, it does not cost or price the service anywhere close to what it's worth.
In the market.
And we know that. So when Prime Minister speaks of fee, it is not a tax. A tax is an imposition, a compulsory imposition, on an individual, regardless of whether or not he or she is receiving a service. That's the difference. You with me?
I'm with you.
Right. So what has happened over the years is that many services provided by the public sector have not attracted increased fees because they were implemented years ago. Many times you don't get the opportunity to revisit the calculations or why it was X as opposed to Y. And over time, you can have some very unusual things happening. Like you heard that somebody in the fish market was being charged 75 cents per day.
Yep.
Come on.
For a long time.
For a long time. You with me? And this is what we're seeing across the public sector. So it would therefore be exciting for a reporter to confuse a fee with tax.
But did the reporter confuse
a I'm not saying, I'm saying it would be.
Yes.
And as you know, in this business, you make
put
your headline
together
as sensational as you possibly can.
Yes.
In the environment, though, what is particularly absent is the unusual happening at July 2019. Could you imagine a government comes to power in 2018 and immediately imposes a 40% income tax rate? And there's cry. Mm-hmm. But do you know that in the midst of a BERT program, followed by the approval of the IMF, that this government reduced substantially income taxes in Barbados last year?
And then this year.
And it also followed by reducing the top tax rate in January of this year. So in essence, there has been considerable reduction in income taxation. Now, I listen occasionally to your program, but I never hear anyone boasting about their take-home pay.
Maybe the callers aren't employed by government.
Okay, then.
And therefore,
so at the lower end, recognizing that people did not enjoy income tax relief below $25,000 in this system, the government also corrected an anomaly. Mm-hmm. Before last year, the reverse tax credit was determined by whether or not you earn $18,000 or less per year.
Yes.
So here what was happening. There were several people between 18,000, the reverse tax credit, and 25,000 who would not have enjoyed
anything,
the privilege of receiving a reverse tax credit.
Yes, I'm aware of some of those
that
people.
Was corrected.
Yes.
So now you qualify for the reverse tax credit at an income level of $25,000 or less. So several thousand Barbadians are now going to get that benefit. In addition to that, the government recognizing that you can only be given tax relief in relation to the amount of taxes you pay, determined that anyone earning $35,000 or less per year in Barbados would not pay income tax, and therefore a compensatory income credit was applied. The only problem with that is that, like the reverse tax credit, it will really happen at the end of the fiscal year or the financial year,
so
because
just,
you can only assess.
Just for clarity, the $25,000 or less is where reverse tax credit becomes applicable.
Yes.
Between $25,000 and $35,000.
Right.
What happens there?
You would have paid the first marginal tax rate before.
Yes.
But now we're saying that you will not pay because you will be compensated.
At the end of the year?
Yes. Okay. Because it's hard to determine whether or not you will earn $35,000 in the first year of the fourth month of the year.
Yes.
Because your income can change.
Yes.
And therefore, there are certain benefits that can only be derived by on an annual basis and not on a weekly or monthly basis, as is the case with PAYE.
Okay.
Now, in light of all of that, I'm therefore saying to you that I have visited several departments, and that's why you're not seeing me or hearing me. I'm focusing where I think I need to.
Okay. Not in the public domain.
No, there's so many issues to be resolved. Transport board, sanitation, water authority, sugar industry, the convergence of the corporate tax rate. Now, Barbadians would have recognized, and businesses in Barbados, enjoyed substantial privilege in the reduction of the corporate tax rate, which again last in 2018 was increased from 25 to 30%. But has now fallen as low as 5.5 in the first tier, and then comes down. Now, boy, the corporates are happy.
The Prime Minister told us yesterday that was a... She kind of dropped the bombshell that they didn't know about this.
No, we didn't have a choice. We found out.
And found out
But what was remarkable, though, and let me say this, the Prime Minister's leadership is remarkable. It's phenomenal. And I'm telling you because I'm seeing it. And I'm not saying this on the basis of just reduction in taxation. I'm talking about being able to motivate people to do things.
She's a transformational leader.
And I wish to speak to that for a minute, because I've been around the public sector in various capacities. And there's so many able, because the corporate tax convergence would have been managed, but the work was done predominantly, right, within the engine of the BRA, along with assistance from others outside of government. Because that's the first time I've seen that as well, where you ask people to come in and have
some technical skills
on the way forward. So, but that's not the only thing. You go to areas like the transport board that people believe not well run. The problem is you never bought a bus in several years. So as a consequence of that, your diesel costs, your maintenance costs, and other such costs got out of whack. In addition, in 2010, the transport board with 210 buses raked in had 24 million in ridership. In 2010. In 2018, the available bus fleet fell to 70. And the transport board ridership fell to 8 million in 2018. In the meantime, PSVs moved from under 400 to close or above 750. So what was that? You were basically privatizing the transport system. But what happened is that there's the notion that something was happening, something, we're finding out some things happening at the transport board. But apart from that, the wider workers, they are the ones who continue to produce. I could go, I went to the transport board and was able to see data telling me that an individual bus like BM2 travel on a particular route, had a flat on a particular day, change its differential, its brakes, and you heard me, receive X amount of revenue. The cost associated with this bus was X. It was is wonderful data called Magneto, a Magneto system that they had. They still have it. So what we were able to do then is to make decisions, and I want to end my introductory remarks on this. Make decisions on the basis of data. Now, data is critical. You know what it shows? You were mentioning it on the air.
Trends.
Yeah, but also that the economy did not grow in 10 years.
You must qualify that, though, because I had a previous caller who...
Who did what?
Who said, if that's the case, we would have been in recession. I know we were in recession in a fair amount of those. A few of those years. But just bring context to it.
Let me bring context.
If you look at the line that we saw yesterday, we were going down. But even if you're going down and you come up a little bit, you go back down some further. So it's like taking two steps forward and then two steps. And then one step forward and two steps backward. So could you kindly give us an explanation for the economic point that Dr. Greenidge made yesterday? I want you to do that for me, please.
All right. The first thing I need to do is to put on my teaching hat.
Right.
Good.
And you're good at that.
Thank you, my dear. So we're going to assume that we have an economy that only produces sugar. This year, the economy produces 2 pounds of sugar. And we sell the sugar at $2. So we got an economy that has $4 in it. Right, Lise?
Yes.
Good. Next year, the economy produces 2 pounds of sugar.
But we were producing four before.
No, two.
Two before.
2 pounds, and we multiply the 2 pounds by the price, which is two.
Yes.
So we get $4. This economy is only $4.
Yes.
The very next year, the economy produces 2 pounds of sugar. But we sell it at $3 per pound. So therefore, the economy appears to be $6. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is, nominally.
Yes.
But in real terms, the economy has not grown. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Yes.
So let me explain why, in real terms, it has not grown. Because mm-hmm. we only inflated the value of the economy mm-hmm. by increasing prices.
So the inflation, which was in effect 38%, the size of the economy still didn't
cause the nominal, the amount of money in the system to look bigger, mm-hmm. but we didn't produce any more output, mm-hmm. but we inflated. It's called nominal GDP as opposed to real GDP. Mm-hmm. So in essence then, if you look at the Barbados economy over the 10-year span, mm-hmm. you would typically expect that even nominal GDP should grow because mm-hmm. of inflation.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. with me?
Yes.
But not even nominally did the economy grow. Mm-hmm. So it tells you that in real terms, mm-hmm. the economy declined. Don't have any major discussion with persons who don't want to hear the truth. Because that's all you need to do. Mm-hmm. You take data and you make decisions. Mm-hmm. A fellow could have an opinion, mm-hmm. but he cannot have alternative facts. Okay. That's not associated with the fellow who's running the world. You understand? But not here in this country.
All right. I thank you for your introductory remarks. Yeah. We do have a full board, so I'm going to have a caller.
I look forward to it.
Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Morning.
Mr. Maskell is there on the left. Could I answer a question for me, please?
Of course.
Good.
I'm here for as long as you need me.
Well, Mr. Maskell, how are you, sir?
Are you always good?
Yeah. Always. By the blessing of the Lord, you're always good.
You better believe
it. I want you to answer one. You don't know who is speaking to you.
No.
But I know you very, very, very well. Have I appeared in front of you now?
So you know me as Bowman then?
All right, don't mind.
Okay.
But I want you to answer a question for me.
Okay.
Yes, we are saying that the economy are looking up. Mm-hmm. True?
Yeah.
Yes.
If it's true?
I'm
going to demonstrate that it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
Yes, a few people mm-hmm. benefit from the measures that Mrs. Motley, Prime Minister Barbados, have taken. Is that true?
A few?
Not a few. A few.
A few people. A few people benefited?
Yeah,
oh,
a few benefits. Some benefits.
Okay, good.
But
some.
The average man out there in the streets, you listen to me carefully.
Yes.
I told you, you do not know who is the person that's speaking to you. But
okay.
I know you, I know Calvin, I know all you all.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. When you can call your brother's name, you would know mm-hmm. the body know who is speaking.
Yeah, this little Bowman you're talking to.
Listen, all right. Listen to me carefully, and I want all the people in there, in the whole of Barbados was hearing my voice.
Yeah.
Now, I am 22 days short of 91 years.
Oh, are you hoping to get past you, though?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Can you help me? Because I am really uneducated, and I would like you being an economist.
You can't be uneducated.
Huh?
You know, you can't be uneducated.
I can't?
You can't. Yeah, you see, you're gone.
I want you to help me.
Yes.
Now, I just told you that I am 22 days short of 91 years.
Yes.
I work 77 years out of my 90. Because I ain't 91 yet. I work 77 years. I wouldn't describe the kind of work, or it would be frightening to you and the whole Barbados if I tell you the work I had to do.
Well, it's honorable.
But my question to you is, and I want you just told the lady that you used to speak the truth, ain't
yes.
you? Good.
Nice.
Well, I want you to speak the truth to me now.
Yeah.
How it is? Yeah. I am at 77 years old, and I have to live off $122. You're a big man with figures. I can't add them. I have to live off $122 per week.
And this is now?
If there's no?
Is no, that you have a 122?
I have to live off $122 a week.
How much you had last year?
I have to pay water. I have to pay light. I have to pay TV.
Uh-huh.
I have to pay gas.
Yes.
I'm getting 122. You can call you good at figures.
You ain't giving me no chance, though.
Working 122 for 4 weeks.
Yes.
And you would know, come up with the figure that I just get.
So this is from the NAS?
That's where my check. That's my
no,
check.
It's from the NAS, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You remember what happened last year?
No, I can't. My brain are getting full. No time.
No. You don't recall.
Well, let me tell you.
Because you're fooling me. Because you're not uneducated.
I can't.
Right?
Listen.
And the other thing, do you remember what happened last year, though, with the NAS non-contributory pension?
You mean that the $6, it took me 10 years.
No, yeah, so if you recall what happened last year.
It took 10 years to get $6.
No, how much were you getting?
And the NAS no give me $4.
Uh-huh.
$4.
Yeah.
No, $16.
Oh, 16?
Yeah.
All right, tell me, dude. Since you, I can give you some homework, right? Because prior to this year, you were receiving what? Before you were getting your 122.
Yeah.
What you were getting?
What were we getting?
Mm-hmm.
It was 476.
No. Put me in the 120s. I answer what you were getting. Because you recall that the Prime Minister, one of the first things she did was to increase the bottom of the non-contributory pensions.
Yes.
Which caused a cry. You remember people saying that can't be done, it's not
up,
affordable,
sir,
and all these things?
That is how I get then $6.
Yeah, that's how it's only six you got? Six? You sure?
So I am asking you.
I'm asking you what you had before you got 122.
What I had before you get 122?
Yeah. Right. And let me answer the thing now, because I understand the condition. Don't think I can empathize, right? Because there's nothing I like better than older people, right? Enjoy talking to them, learn from them, respect them over the years. But let me say this to you.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you'll never be able to give pensioners enough to compensate for the contribution that they've made to this country.
You'll never be able to.
So it becomes an issue of affordability.
Affordability.
Yeah, yeah. And let me explain what happened.
Let me talk at all, man.
You invite me to answer a question, you don't let me talk?
He wants to know how you call her, man.
Go ahead.
Man, you're my senior, man. You talk, because you don't let me talk.
You
were speaking now for about 10 minutes.
It would never be affordable to give pensions the contribution.
No, you're listening.
But you can hire a consultant.
I'm saying to you that you will never be able to give pensioners precisely what they deserve, given the contribution that they have made.
That may be true.
So therefore, remember that it is called a contributory. So you get a non-contributory pension.
No, I get a...
You get a contributory? Right.
Contributory.
So therefore, remember when you were working, they took X amount of money out of your pay over the years.
Yeah.
Right. So it was not a tax. And let me explain the difference between the contribution for NAS and what is a tax. A tax does not have a direct benefit. You can tax me with VAT. You can tax me on income tax. And you can then use that money to build a hospital or something, or services at a hospital. I may never ever go to the hospital in my entire life. You with me? So that's a tax. On the other hand, when you make a contribution for NAS purposes, it is with a stated benefit in mind, so that when you get older, you will then receive that benefit. In addition to what the employer paid, right, you receive in relation to your contribution. The thing is, therefore, is that in this Barbados, what we try to do, given the limited resources, is to make sure, I hope that you're not ill.
I hope that you've never used the
you don't sound so to me. I hope you've never used the QEH. Because I'm saying to you that in that vein, therefore, what governments do, governments, not only this one, is that they provide other benefits using expenditure measures. So that the reason why we increase or allow Barbadian students to go back to the university is because it is an investment.
The reason why we continue to do dialysis, right,
is because we take care of our brothers and those who are vulnerable in the society. The reason why we have a welfare program to help people. The reason why we establish a mitigation center. The reason why we do this thing, these things is because we recognize, sir, that there are people that we have to take care of. And who better to take care of than the elderly?
So you're taking care of me with $122 when we
come. No, but you sound very healthy to me. You sound in good shape.
You're very fortunate not to be in any way at all.
So God has you in this position.
After the Almighty God, my wife, take care of me. But all I am asking, outstanding question to you,
yes.
Do you think it is fair to me or any person like me, after working 77 years, to be getting $122?
I'm saying to you that the way the national insurance scheme works.
Huh?
I'm saying the way it works is based on the contributions that you make.
I agree with that. And I told you initially, yeah,
that in fact, if any government was able to give you $244 as opposed to $122, it would do so.
It would do so
because it would make a lot of sense to do so. So therefore, my father once told me something.
He said, "Don't tell me where to go. No, you can't tell me where to go, sir.
I'm telling you this, right? That you allocate resources in relation to how much you have. I can't give you a golden hat when all I can do is make it out of cloth."
Okay. So right? basically, some pensions are small, but then you're also buttressing
by
the respective services, the contributions.
You better believe it. That has always been the case. Has always been the case.
Thank you so much for your call, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have in the studio Dr. Clyde Maskell, and we have a number of callers on the board. We're going to go straight to the phone lines. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Miss Andy Sunday.
Yes, you got that way. This is not Ernie. This is Andy Sunday.
Oh, yeah, good.
You're known.
Dr. Maskell.
Hi, Sheraton.
Only Dr. Maskell. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I allowed so many people to wish you happy birthday on air last week.
I heard you, Lisa.
And now you're just calling and asking for Dr. Maskell?
Sorry, Lisa.
Dr. Maskell, we have a caller here who wants to speak to you.
Go ahead and speak to Dr. Maskell. Dr. Maskell.
How are you doing, madam? How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
You remember last year what you said about the reverse tax money?
Why said that?
You said that, you know, before Christmas, that
we got
money. Pardon me?
Are you getting it yet?
No, for 2018, every time you call it, there you hear, every time you call, this is what you're hearing, it processing. Some people, to tell the truth, some receive, but not a lot, a few. Yeah. Anyhow,
because the money has been allocated by government, though.
Oh, and let me tell you, when you call it there, you hear it processing, it waiting for the okay from the minister. So I grant that you hear no.
Yeah.
What is going to happen to all 2018?
Yeah, you should get it, because in all fairness, prior to December, the end of December last year, the government, central bank transferred about $75 million to the Treasury to make these payments through BRA. So I'm surprised, except that let me just explain though, you know, that this whole refund thing, when we did the calculation, we had to print about 113,000 checks, which would have been almost impossible to do before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Although the money is available, Ms. Undecided, because I had some workers from the NCC approach me walking across to the... they call it, the water thing, the fountain, asking me the same question. And it is not for lack of funding or lack of funds. We do have, or we have transferred the money. So I will check on this for you deliberately because I know who you are. I don't know you, I know that you introduce yourself to me only partially when I visited Sheraton.
But let me tell you though, you're getting it when you're getting it soon.
Yeah. The money's there.
So when you
don't let me put a promise down, man. I can go in BRA. Yes, I always in BRA. So I go in there to find out exactly what's going wrong with it.